Iran's military head advises presidential candidates to respect law. Iran's parliament speaker says high turnout and upcoming presidential election foils enemies' plots. Syrian army destroys two cars loaded with explosives in district of capital Damascus. Iraqi prime minister orders changes in country's security structure. And Swedish prime minister calls for calm after violent riots. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iran in English News with me, Nihat Shitsas. Iran's judiciary head has called on unsuccessful presidential hopefuls and those approved to stand in the race to respect the law and the constitution in the wake of next month's vote. Ayatollah Sadegh Mollah Rijani said on Wednesday that the decisions by the Guardian Council were made in the right direction to create yet another epic election on June 14. Mollah Rijani further noted that the top constitutional supervisory body has the final say in vetting candidates and those who were not approved should abide by the law. The senior Iranian official also asked the candidates to refrain from character assassination during presidential debates. Speaker of Iran's Majlis or the parliament says massive vote turnout in the forthcoming presidential election will foil plots hatched by the United States and the Zionist regime against the Islamic Republic. Speaking at the open session of the Majlis on Wednesday, Larijani said, Zionist officials have left no stone unturned in their efforts to compel Western governments to impose more economic sanctions on Iran. He added that elections in Iran are actually for the sake of promoting unity and democracy rather than division. The Islamic Republic of Iran has officially unveiled a new developed sophisticated weapons, ammunition and military camouflage outfit. During a ceremony held in Tehran, Defense Minister Brigadier General Ahmad Vahidi unveiled Sarbaz individual rifle, Mirsad sniper rifle, Saad pistol, piercing ammunition and military outfit designed to remain undetectable by night vision goggles. The Sarbaz individual rifle has been manufactured in order to take advantage of the maximum capabilities of the Kalashnikov rifle and increase its efficiency in different combat missions. In addition, the new rifle is compatible with a telescoping stock, aiming aids and stands to increase shooting accuracy. The Mirsad sniper rifle is designed to provide the sniper units with a light, precise and small caliber weapon and is capable of fulfilling sniper missions. The Saad pistol is a light weapon with a high-capacity magazine, which can be used with different accessories. The ammunition unveiled at the ceremony is capable of a piercing hard armor, including helicopters and armored personnel carriers. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman has dismissed Saudi Arabia's false allegation that the Islamic Republic has links to a spy cell recently arrested in the kingdom. Abbas Araghchi said, Tehran expects the Saudi government to pursue the issue through correct channels instead of creating media hype. Araghchi noted that the foreign ministry has summoned the Saudi Arabian Charge d'Affaires in Tehran and protested the allegations in March 2012, requesting a formal explanation from the Saudi side. The spokesman underlined that Iran had requested consular access to the Iranian nationals 2 months ago, but unfortunately, there has been no response from Saudi officials. A senior Iranian lawmaker has downplayed recent Zionist regime's warmongering rhetoric against Syria as an empty threat aimed at keeping up the morale of the foreign-backed militants in the country. The head of the National Security and Foreign Policy Commission of Iran's parliament, Or Majlis, said, the leaders of the fake Zionist regime only issue such empty threats to boost the morale of terrorists. Pointing to the recent advancements made by the Syrian army against militants in the western city of Al-Qusayr and the central province of Homs, Alaeddin Burjerdi said, Tel Aviv threats are aimed at preventing the blockade of Al-Qusayr, which is the main channel of arms supply to militants. The Iranian lawmaker stated that the Syrian army has maintained its powerful position against foreign threats throughout the two-year unrest and has defeated militants on various fronts. This comes as the Syrian army has destroyed two cars loaded with a total of 1,300 kilograms of explosives in a suburb of the capital, Damascus. The army destroyed a Mercedes loaded with 700 kilograms of explosives and another car loaded with 600 kilograms of explosives near a car showroom in Harasada neighborhood. The achievements were made within the framework of an operation to flush out militants carrying out terrorist attacks in the area. A day earlier, the army destroyed a car loaded with 1,000 kilograms of explosives in the same area. In other news, the Syrian Foreign and Expatriates Ministry has called on the UN Security Council to terminate the violations made by the Zionist regime, restating Syria's right to respond to any breach of its sovereignty. The Zionist regime has recently boosted its military activities in the Golan Heights, where clashes between the Syrian army and the militant groups continue. Syria has been gripped by unrest for over 2 years, and many people, including large numbers of Syrian soldiers and security personnel, have been killed in the foreign-sponsored militancy. Meantime, Russian Foreign Minister says the Syrian opposition had not yet shown enough commitment to efforts to arrange a peace conference with President Bashar al-Assad's government. Sergei Lavrov made a remark in a meeting with Syrian Deputy Foreign Minister Faisal Miqdad in Moscow on Wednesday.
We value the constructive reaction of the Syrian leadership to this proposal. We hope that a constructive reaction from various opposition groups, of which there are many, will also follow.
And now a recap of our top stories. Iran's judiciary head advises presidential candidates to respect law. Iran's parliament speaker says high turnout in upcoming presidential elections foils enemies' plots. Syrian army destroys two cars loaded with explosives in district of capital Damascus. Iraqi prime minister orders changes in country's security structure. And Swedish prime minister calls for calm after violent riots. Iraqi prime minister has ordered a shakeup in the security structure of the country following terrorist attacks that have killed hundreds of people across the Arab states since May 14. Nouri al-Maliki said his country is about to make changes in the high and middle positions of those responsible for security and a security strategy. His order came after many people were killed and dozens of others injured in several attacks across Iraq on Tuesday. The incident are the latest in a string of attacks that have left more than 300 people dead this month. Violent clashes raged on for a fourth consecutive day in Lebanon's flashpoint city of Tripoli, causing more deaths. The violence has claimed at least 13 lives since the weekend. More than 100 people have been also injured as supporters and opponents of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad clashed in the city. Two Lebanese soldiers were reportedly among the dead. Many homes have been destroyed since the breakout of violence on Sunday. Lebanese Prime Minister Najib Mikati issued a statement on Wednesday saying the army has full authority to take the necessary measures to put an end to the clashes. Now in Saudi Arabia, a vegetable seller set fire to himself in capital Riyadh last week because of his rising debts and constant run-ins with officials who stopped him hawking fruit and vegetables from the roadside. He set himself alight after local officials told him he did not have permission to sell his goods from a pickup truck on a street corner in a poor Riyadh neighborhood. His father said local officials had confiscated his son's identity papers during an earlier confrontation and sometimes confiscated his car and fined him. City officials were not immediately able to comment on the case.
Mohammed was a vegetable seller who picked up vegetables from wholesalers' cold storage, sold them and then paid the wholesalers for the goods. Sometimes the authorities came and confiscated his goods, so he was not able to make the payments to the wholesalers, and he would come home leaving his family hungry. He tried changing his location to sell the vegetables, but then the authorities came and confiscated his goods and his pickup truck. This son of mine suffered much, and he was too patient until the pressure of it all led him to burn himself to death.
At least 5 people have been killed and 20 others wounded in a bomb attack in Afghanistan's troubled eastern province of Ghazni after an improvised explosive device went off in the area. The death toll is expected to rise as some of the injured are said to be in critical condition. Afghan police officials said the main target of the attack in the city, which is located 125 kilometers south of the capital Kabul, remained unknown. There was no immediate claim of responsibility for the bomb attack. But Taliban militants frequently use roadside bombs against foreign troops and Afghan armed forces. Separately, the U.S.-led forces opened fire on a group of seminary students in western Afghanistan, killing at least 2 and injuring several others. Security sources in Herat province said the students were attending a ceremony at the Azizabad village when the shooting happened. Nearly 24 hours after a monster tornado tore through a suburb of Oklahoma City, hopes for a rescue of trapped survivors are beginning to wane as more threatening weather moves into the region. Rescue officials have cautioned that officials could see as many as 40 additional fatalities, and that bodies have may been taken to funeral homes instead of authorities. The tornado, estimated to be up to 2 miles wide, tore through Moore on Monday afternoon, a community of 41,000 people about 10 miles south of Oklahoma City. The twister left at least 24 dead, including 9 children. The Storm Prediction Center in Norman, Oklahoma, forecast more stormy weather in parts of Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma, including the Moore, Oklahoma area where the tornado hit. The Swedish Prime Minister has called for calm after Stockholm experienced its third night of violent protests in several suburbs. The Premier's appeal for calm came after youths continued setting fire to cars and fighting with the staff of the emergency services. He added that 8 people were arrested Tuesday night, but there were no reports of injuries. A police station in the northwest of Stockholm was attacked. 2 schools were damaged, and a local art center was set alight during the unrest. The unrest began on Sunday night in response to the May 13 shooting, in which police killed a 69-year-old man who had locked himself in an apartment in Husby, west of Stockholm. The riots in one of Europe's richest capitals have shocked a country that prides itself on a reputation for social justice and fueled a debate about how Sweden is coping with both youth unemployment and an influx of immigrants. And finally, according to a new report, millions of Italians cannot afford to heat their homes properly or eat meat as their country is wracked by recession and soaring unemployment. The report released on Wednesday by Italy's National Statistics Institute, ESTAT, said the number of people considered seriously deprived has doubled in the past 2 years. The findings underline the scale of the challenge faced by Prime Minister Enrico Letta's new coalition government, which has vowed to stimulate growth and tackle a youth jobless rate of almost 40%. A recession that has lasted almost 2 years has taken a heavy toll on ordinary Italians, who are increasingly digging into their savings. Italy also has the highest level in Europe of young people who are neither in education nor in employment. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of IRN and English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.